Okay, listen. Okay, today we'll do Pesach part two. And I guess we'll go through, last time we went through the chametz aspects. Now we'll go through the Seder and the Matz aspects. Okay. So, you can go based on the Siman, Kadesh, Rechatz, etc. Kadesh is Kiddush. So, Kiddush is the mitzvah that we have on Yontif to make Kiddush, like we do on any Yontif. And technically speaking, one person can make Kiddush for the whole family. And many poskim hold that that's the preferred way because that's that's Rovam Hadras Melech. And you have one person making Kiddush for everyone else. Okay. And some people have the minhag that everyone makes their own Kiddush. Some people, even if they don't have the minhag that everyone makes their own Kiddush during the year, at the Seder somehow they have that minhag. But really, one person can make Kiddush for everybody. We paskin, like the Rambam, against Tosfos, that everyone has to drink Dalat Kosos. Not only Tosfos holds, it's only the Balabais has to drink the Dalat Kosos. Everyone else just listens. But the Tosfos holds that just about bias, we hold that everyone drinks. And you're supposed to drink a revis. And we say Rov Kos is good, but like Shach Lewis points out, that Rubu Kukulo is only B'dievet. L'chatchil is supposed to drink the whole Kos. The whole Kos. And the Ramban has a shita that if you have a very big cup, you have to drink the whole. That, say a revius like, I don't know, 3.3 ounces or something like that. So Rov revius would be Rov of that, 4 point whatever ounces. But we'll say you have a cup that's 6 ounces. So Ramban says, look, I feel you have to drink all 6 ounces. And Rov means Rov of six, not Rov of. And the other post can say, no, Rov means Rov of the shear. That was if the Shia Meager Din is 3.3 or whatever that, so you only have to drink Rove of 3.3. You don't have to drink Rove of 6. So the Magen Avraham says that's why it's best to get a kos that's Mamashat Revius. So this way you don't have a Shiloh that you have to drink more. Yeah. In other words, the question is, how much do you have to drink? So you have to drink the arba kosos. So the minimum shear of kos is a revius, which it could be either between 3.3 or more, or 4 point whatever, ounces. But the Ramban sheet is that a kos is based on whatever your kos happens to be. If you have a kos that's 6, so then you have to drink the whole 6. And when we say rubo, so again, you have a machlokis. Does rubo mean rubo of what 3.3 is, or rubo of 6? So that's what the Magen Avraham says. So it's best to get a kos that's just the sheer revis. So this way you won't have to drink too much. Okay, so that's Kadesh. And everyone, and you lean, when you drink, you lean, you do Haseba, right, on the left side, right? Haseba Svalas. The Rav Yos says, why should we do Haseba Bizman Hazeh? That's not the Derech Bizman Hazeh. If you want to be comfortable, you don't lean, right? That's not the way we. And like Rabbi Weider points out, the Iker HaSeber really means to really totally prostrate yourself on the left side. So unless you bring a bed to the table, you're not going to be able to really do that. So the women are so the Rav Rah held the Mizmarazeh, you really don't need to do it, but the Maisa we don't follow that way. But women are so mech on the Rav Yah. So women, it's the Shiloh Tzniyas and things like that, so women are so mech on the Rav Yah, and they don't do Haseba. But the men do Haseba. So Dalakosos, the question, Rav Moshe was mechadish that it has to be wine, has to be something that's meshaker. And others say there's even grape juice is good. And someone to bring a raya to Rav Moshe from the Yerushalmi, and it says one of the Maroim drank dalakosos and he had a headache till Shavuos. So don't you see that? So Rabbi David will guess Rav Salvation, but who held that you can have grape juice? So what do you do that Yerushalmi? So Rav Salvation responded to Mustama, he didn't have grape juice. So that's how others say. Can have grape juice, but it doesn't mean if you have grape juice, you're mechuyev to get sick. I mean, in Shulchan Aruch it says that even if you don't like wine and you're going to get whatever, you still have to drink the wine. But many poskim hold you can have grape juice. You know, there's only one discussion that the Knesset HaGdola says that our grape juice is treated. In other words, our grape juice can't turn into wine. So maybe the din that you can have grape juice only if it potentially could ferment. But our grape juice can't potentially ferment, so then maybe it wouldn't be good. But we assume somehow that our grape juice is good also. So one could l'chadchila have grape juice for the dalakosos, of salvechikov, etc. The next is Rechatz, we wash the Tilas Yadayim, and that's part of the general idea of washing the Tilas Yadayim whenever you have something that is dipped in a liquid. That applies the whole year round, really. Like if you have grapes that were washed and you're eating them, you should wash the Tilas Yadayim with Libracha, or an apple. If it's dry, then you don't. And then if it's wet, then you have to wash the Tilas Yadayim. Okay. So some the Magen Avraham says that there's manazeh that we're not osik in Tumah Vatara, so maybe one doesn't have to. We can rely on the opinion of Tosus that one doesn't have to wash the Tilas Yadayim for Tibula B'mashkia, only for bread. So some people are somech on this Magen Avraham that you just have to wash the Tilas Yadayim for bread, and they're not makpid to do it on fruit when even if it's wet. But at the Seder night, everyone's makpid. Everyone's marked. And also the Tinoko should ask. Yeah. Next is Karpas. Different opinions, some vegetable, celery or something like that, parsley, mashed potato. Potato, and we make a bar piyadoma. And some poskim hold you should have in mind the maror, as well that you're going to have. Because we're going to have more later in the Seder. During the meal. So some say, really you should have to make a Bar Pri Adam on that morrow, because it's really not part of the meal. So that's what you have in mind. Others say, no, that it's part of the meal. It's considered, Tosa says that it's considered like an appetizer. If you eat an appetizer in the meal, and it causes your appetite to be enhanced, then you have to make a bracha. Then you don't have to make a bracha. So that's the question. Why don't we make an adom on the morrow? So there are two reasons. Either because we made the adom on the karpas and we have in mind, that's one opinion. The other opinion is because it's considered an appetizer. And the vinnik is we don't make, we eat pachas kuzai, so we don't make a bracha chrona. And we have in mind the morrow. Yachatz, we take the middle matzah, we break it in half, we put half away from Afikoman and we put the other half back. There's a question that we've shown, why don't we break the top matzah? Or we should break the top matzah because ein mavir mel mitzvahs. That whenever there's a mitzvah to do, whatever you hit in first, you should do that mitzvah first. So if the top matzah is staring in the face, l'chora that should be done first. But nonetheless, some say that it's not considered a mitzvah, so that's why it's not a problem of Eim Avir Mela Mitzvah. Eim Avir Mitzvah is a real mitzvah. Like the Gemara has a discussion in Yuma where the, what do you clean first? The Mizbeach or the menorah? If you need to clean it. So the Gemara says the Mizbeach, because when you go into the inside, you hit the Mizbeach first before you hit the menorah. So since you pass by the Mizbeach first, you can't just bypass it and go someplace else. So too maybe you should, so that's what the Smag said. The Smag, I believe, says you should break them, the top matzah, but I'm meaning is to break the middle matzah. And the post can explain, because we don't, the breaking per se is not considered a mitzvah, so therefore it's not considered ein mavirin ela mitzvahs.
Is there anything special?
That's the question. So the reason, the middle one is because later when we make the brachas, we can make two brachas, alachilas hamotzi lechem v'naaretz and alachilas matzah. So, and we make the motzi first. I guess that's the more usual bracha. So the motzi is going on the shleima, and alachilas matzah is going on the prusa. So if we would do the top one, then we would leave it on top. So then we have a question later, because the motzi is not going on, that motzi we'd be circumventing it. So maybe that's the reason. Otherwise, because later on we can make two brachas. So therefore we want the prusa to be second, so therefore we break the middle one. And then we put away half of the bigger half of the Afikoman, and then we set the rest. Then we do Magid, the Haggadah. The Haggadah starts in Aramaic, Halach Manyo. And this is the first I'll explain, because Rabbi Blau discussed the Shabbos with Gold Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam, that's Halach Manu was said in Bavel. And basically, the Sefer Masa Hashem explains that Halachmanya was like a lament. He says, like, we are here in Bavel, you know, we're celebrating the Seder, and we're missing the real thing. And that's what's like Rabbi Blas, Ashat HaHachal Hashan Abba Barad Yisrael. So it's clear they were saying it from the vantage point of somebody living in Golis. Then there's the Machlokis. What does it mean, Halachmanya? So the Ramban says it's not referring to the matzahs that they ate when they came out of Mitzrayim. Because it says, Halachmanya Diachal of Hassan of Arad Mitzrayim. Means this is the matzah that we ate when we were in Mitzrayim. And the Ramban explains that the practice was, even though, as Rabbi Blau pointed out, it doesn't say in the Torah they ate matzahs while they were slaves, but that was a practice to give slaves matzah. Because matzah fills you very quickly, and this way they didn't have to spend so much food on the slaves. So Ramban says, Halachmanya Dechal Avasana is remembering the matzahs that we ate in Mitzrayim as slaves. And the Maral disagrees. The Maral says, no, it means, Arad Mitzrayim doesn't mean literally, it means while we were coming out of Mitzrayim. Since we didn't get to our next destination yet, so it's still called Mitzrayim. But it's really referring to the Pasuk in Chumash, of that they were eating it as they were coming out. So that's Machlokas, the Ramban and the Maral, what it means, Halachmanya Dachal Avasana Ba'ara de Mitzrayim. The Ara de Mitzrayim literally, or it means the vicinity of Mitzrayim, meaning because till we get to the next stopping grounds, we're still in Mitzrayim. And that's what it's referring to. It's interesting that the main part of the Haggadah is the darshaning of the Psukim in Parshat Kisavo. The Psukim of Mikra Bikur, of Arami Ovidovi. Which is very strange, because why those Psukim? Someone once asked me, why don't we... And Rabbi Blau discusses, why don't we have Psukim from Bo and Beshalach? So the Or Sameach has a cute idea. He says that the Gemara says that the matzah is called Lechem Oni. For me, but Robert Fritchin. The Gemara darshins Lechem Sheonim Olav Devarim Harbe. Something that we say a lot of things in conjunction with. Meaning we say the Haggadah in conjunction with that. So it's the lechem that comes with an oni, with an aniya, with recitation. And that fits in well with the Ramban. What the Ramban says, you know, we say by Rabbi Gamliel, Kol shelo omar shlosha dvarim halal b'pesach lo yotzo yidei chovoso. So pashtut means that if you don't discuss the Pesach matzah maror, you're not yotze your chova of sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. But the Ramban says no. Lo yotzo yidei chovoso means you're not fully yotze your chiyav of achila of the matzah. And I don't say the yachim of the matzah. So it's lechem sheonim olav dvarim harbe. Oh, so the Or Sameach says, what does it say in Parshat Kisavo? Anyone's bar mitzvah Parshat Kisavo? It says, v'anisa v'amarta. So it's the same lashon, anisa, and oni. So that's how Chazal knew that you should darshan from this parsha. And some explain because Bikurim is the quintessential example of Hakaras HaTov, and that's what the Seder is all about. So we darsh in those psukim. In fact, there's a word from the Sefer Maaseh Hashem from Bezalel Ashkenazi that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was fond of saying over. And that is, it says, "Ilu lootzi Hakadosh Baruch Hu zavoseinu b'Mitzrayim, ve'anu v'neinu v'nevu v'neinu mshubonim hayinu l'faru b'Mitzrayim." If Paro wouldn't have taken us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be subordinate to Paro and Mitzrayim. Shubonim hayinu l'faru b'Mitzrayim. So, why? Who said it? Maybe if he wouldn't have taken us out, we would be someone else would have taken it. So our salvation said like this from the Sefer Maaseh Hashem. This Rabbi Vorhin told me that his grandfather said the same idea, that when anyone does you a favor, so you're a stickle subordinate to this person because you owe him gratitude. So Hashem made it that we don't owe any gratitude to Paro. The Paro didn't send us out at all. Hashem took us out. Paro didn't want to send us out. Because if Paro would have sent us out, Meshubadim doesn't mean we would have been still slaves. We would have been slaves in the sense that we would have been in debt of gratitude towards him. So in that sense, we would have been slaves. Because we would have still owed him Hakaras HaTov for what he did. So therefore, Hashem wanted it to be that we owe our power, we don't owe him that Hakaras HaTov for that. Okay. So, Oru Baneinu V'nei Baneinu Meshubadim Hayinu L'Faro Mitzrayim. So that is the that is the story of Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. And that's why the Rambam says he's supposed to have the matzahs uncovered during the Haggadah. So this is to show that you're saying the Haggadah on the matzah. It's Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. Okay. So that is the and the Vilna Gaon says another interesting pshat. The Vilna Gaon says that the exodus of Mitzrayim, we know there's a concept the Ramban has Masa Avos Siman Lamana. That basically what happened to the Avos is a simon to what's going to happen to the Banim. So where was the first Golus in history? So he says the first Golus in history really was what? When Yaakov Avinu went to the house of Lavan, right? That was the first Golus. And when he leaves the house of Lavan, he leaves with what? His cattle. And then Lavan finds out about it on day 3, and he catches up on day 7. So the same thing that happened to Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. We left with their rechush. Paro heard about it on day 3, and he caught up on day 7, and this is where we had the Kriyas Yamsuf. So, Ramban says the story of Lavan is Masa almost similar to him, and maybe that's why we darshan a Rabbi Ovirovi. Okay, so that is the Magid. One should say the whole Magid, you know. Some have the minhag that one person's motzi everybody. But today we don't have that minhag so much, so you should read along the whole thing.
How about saying Gid in a different language?
Yeah, I mean, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it should be said in the way that people understand, but I think you should also say it in the Hebrew. People who don't know Hebrew, so let them read it in English. But if you know Hebrew, so even though maybe someone calls upon you to read a paragraph in English, you should read it also in Hebrew. So you should say the whole thing. And at the end of Magid, we make a bracha, Asher Galanu, the Galas of Aseinu. Now, what's some say, Chassam Sofer writes, that that's the bracha on the Haggadah, which is strange because normally we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah, and here we're making it at the end, right? So it's a little bit strange. So what's the answer? The answer is that Chassam Sofer gives like an answer al Pidrush, it's very interesting answer. That we're supposed to relive, right? That we're going out of Mitzrayim. So relive means we relive the whole from A to Z. Like we were slaves, we were over there for the Zara, and then we, so to speak, the Tshuva, we converted, so to speak. So we view ourselves each like a, so to speak, like a convert. Because so a convert, then go to the mikveh, makes the bracha after, because beforehand he can't say Shekhar Shalom B'Sosof. So we view ourselves, Kielu, we were of the Avodah Zarah, we weren't right to make a bracha, and now at the end we purify ourselves and now we make the bracha at the end. So that's how Chassam Sofer interprets the fact that we make the bracha Asher Galanu at the end of the Seder. Okay, then Rachsa is the regular Netilas Yadayim, and again matzah we treat as bread, and even certain Sfardim who make mazonos during the year, but on Pesach night everyone makes a motzi. Even though I told you Rav Avadi Yosef told me that he personally makes a motzi on matzah the whole year, and he, even though he wrote a tshuva to say that while you make mazonos that it was only to matzdik the minhag, but he really thinks the more correct way is to make a motzi. And this Rav Abadi has told me as well that since it's a meal, it's made to eat as a meal, Okay, so that's now matzah. How much matzah are you supposed to eat? So midaraisa, you only have to eat a kezias. But midrabanan, you have to eat more than a kezias. You have to eat like this. You have to eat two kezaisim at the beginning because there's a suffix. I said before that the hamotzi goes on the Shleima, and now Achilas Matzah goes on the Prusa, but there's an opinion fakert that the Motzi goes on the Prusa, and now Achilas Matzah goes on the Shleima. And whenever the one that you make now Achilas Matzah, then you need to eat the Gezaiah, so therefore you have to eat the Gezaiah of the Prusa and the Gezaiah of the Shleima. So that's already two Gezaisim. And then for Korech, right, you need another Gezaiah, and then Afikomen, another kezias, so it's like four kezias. How much is a kazai? So Rav Shecha always points out, the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu of the Stipler says that Mikra Din has an ish, the shear of your palm with your fingers. That's how much really you have to eat. If you want to eat more, you can eat more, but at least the palm with your fingers. And Rav Chaim Volozhin, the shear is even smaller, just the palm. Sometimes people overdo it. Now you have to realize also that you know, people think there's a rush also, that you have to eat it with Tayachilas Pras. Pras is a prusa, half a loaf. So if a loaf is gimel of dal beitzim, say it's dal beitzim or gimel beitzim, and if there's a two kazaisim in every, so it's either 6 to 8 kazaisim is the share of a pras, which is half a loaf. Because again, because if you have a loaf is 6 beitzim, so half a loaf is 3 beitzim, and a beitzah is 6 kazaisim, so that means that you have to eat 1 kazais in the time it takes to eat 6. So that's not so much. So basically, you don't have to maybe go with a stopwatch. All you do is you eat and you don't talk, and you eat without pausing. You don't have to go crazy and right, because there is the sheet of the Mordechai that you should eat the kazayis in one gulp. That's the sheet of the Mordechai that the Truma Sadashim brings down, that you should chew and save it up. Chew, save it up, and then it's all chewed. But you don't need to do that. They say that, you know, Hatzolah is called the most of the whole year on the nights of the Pesach Seder. That's the busiest nights of the year for Hatzolah, that people are... So people have to realize that if wine is not good, they can have grape juice with Hatzolah. But people have to realize they don't have to eat. If they can't eat so much, they can eat the size of a matzah of the palm of the hand. So you are young, healthy people, as a shame, you could eat the palm with the fingers, so maybe a little bit more. Right. So if you want to remark, we'd have, yeah. But, and then you just don't pause. You keep eating without pausing. And then, by definition, you'll get it. Because really, you only have to be eating one at a time that it takes to eat 6. Good. Okay. So you have Kadesh of Kapras, yeah, Motzi Matzah, and Morer. So Morer, most people use romaine lettuce. And the machlok is Chazanish holds that it's not good because it's not bitter. Others say, based on the Yerushalmi, that Joseph, that it's, if you keep it in the ground, it would be bitter. So even though you didn't, that's good enough. So you eat kazayis and morer, you dip it in the charosis, then you shake off the charosis, and then you eat a kazayis of morer, and then you have a kricha of the matzah together with the lettuce. Then you have the meal. And you should, you don't want the meal to go too long, but you want to be able to eat afikoma before chatzos. So then, and after afikoma, you're not supposed to eat anything. Right? Another thing about the dalakosis, there's a machlokas between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim, whether you make four brachas, that's Ashkenazim, four brachas on the four kosas, and the Sfardim only make two, on the first and the third. Because why should you make on the second? You made on the first. And why should you make on the fourth? You made on the third. The third you have to make because it's not covered by the first because benching broke it up. That's the minhag of the Machaber, the Sfardim. And the Ashkenazim don't do it that way. Ashkenazim makes four brachas. And the Rif explains, and Rav Shecht explains in the Rif, that since he's had the, each one is done on a separate mitzvah, you know, one is done on Kiddush, Challah, you know, Berkas Hamazon, you know, Kiddush Hagadah, Berkas Mazon, Halal, it's done under different mitzvahs. So therefore that behooves a separate bracha. And again, when you eat the matzah and when you eat and drink the dal kosa, you're supposed to be leaning on your left side. Shulchan Aruch, Sofon is the Afikoman, Barech, and Halel. Say Halel. There's a Machlok is also whether you're supposed to say Halel and Shul or not. Machaber says to say in the Shul, the Bracha, the Ramah says not to. But it became more and more prevalent to say it in Shul, even though my father always tells me he grew up in an Ashkenazic kehila, they didn't say halal at night in shul. Mr. Amor says, but as time, I mean, between the Sfarim and the Hasidim, they said it, so that so certain things became, so that that's something that became popular over the years, to say halal in shul with a bracha on the night of Pesach. Then we say Chasal Seder Pesach. Then we say that we pray to Hashem that our Seder was acceptable. Then we say that Kasher Zachinu L'Sader also Kein Niska L'Asoso. That this year, the way some explain, we didn't do the real thing. We didn't have the Korban Pesach. We just run through the motions. Next year, we should really be able to do it in full force by being in Shalayim and having a Korban Pesach, etc. You know, the Seder is considered Hashros Hashchina. The time the Zohar says that Hashem and the Malachim come to hear the Seder. In fact, that's how some explain why we start the Seder in Aramaic. Besides the Pasha Pshat that it was given in Bavel, is that because the Gemara says in Shabbos that if you pray for a chola, you shouldn't pray in Aramaic, because you need the Malachim to bring the tefillah in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Malachim don't understand Aramaic. But if you're davening in the presence of the chola, the Gemara says, since the Shechina is there in the presence of the chola, so then you can daven in Aramaic, because Hashem understands everything. So then you can daven. So that's why at the beginning of Seder, that's how some explain that we start off in Aramaic to show that we believe that the Shechina is present at the Seder. Just like the scenario of the sick person, when the Shechina is there, you can even daven in Aramaic. And we don't need, you know, and that's what we say, Ani Malomalach, that the Tzitz Mitzrayim is done without any intermediary. It's done with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Then some people have the minute to reach your shirim after the Seder. There's also another interesting minute that some have, and that is to count sphere after the Seder, on the second night. As most of us, we do it in shul, okay? Most of us do it in shul, but Hasidim, in fact, in certain Haggadahs, at the end of the Haggadah, it has Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. And where does that come from? The Rambam Panu says, because basically the Seder, the way it's explained in the Sefer Parnas Eliezer, which is, explains it in a nice way, and that is basically, Pesach is all about that we really didn't deserve it. We were meant Hashari Tuma, and Hashem basically skipped us over. Meaning, you know, when you skip a grade in school, you know, Hashem like took us out when we really weren't deserving. And that's what Pesach is all about. Passover, he skipped us. We were at the lowest levels, but the our Chaim HaKadosh says if we would have stayed any longer, we would have sunk too low, and then it would have been, you know, too hard to get us out. So basically, after this, and you know, in the for Shabbos HaKodesh is a piyut. It's in Musaf. It says the Nisan is a Chodesh. She Yeshuos Makifos. It literally means that the month that we're surrounded with miracles. But the Oreb Yisrael, that's the Achter Rebbe, said a different pshat. That word makifos, literally surrounded, also comes from the word hakafa. And hakafa means when you buy something on credit, you don't pay. A credit card is buying an hakafa. So Pesach was basically everything was on credit card. We didn't deserve it, so we didn't pay for it. So it's only when now we go through the Omer, and now we earn it, step by step by step. So it's not sure I can count the Omer before you read the Haggadah. Because the Haggadah is when we, it's not sure I can just pay back the loan before you borrow. So Pesach is everything was borrowed, everything we got on credit. And now we go, and so that's the way the Hasidim have the minhag that they, they count sphere after the same. Which is an interesting minute. I mean, normally we wouldn't do such a thing because you're not supposed to eat before you didn't do a mitzvah, right? So it would make sense to count sphere before, but al pi machshava, it makes sense that the seder hadvarim is that the seder should come and then sphere comes. So even if we don't have that practice, and still you should appreciate the concept that the 49 days of the Seder is basically our payment back of our payment back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you know, for taking us out of take us out of the tribe, even though when we really didn't deserve it. Okay. The Vilna Gaon's opinion is there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. Many hold not that way. Many hold it's just the night of Pesach. The Chovah is only the first night. And that's the... And some say the Baal HaMor holds like this opinion of Vilna Gaon. Because the Baal HaMor has the kasha. How come we don't make a bracha on matzah the whole seven by sukkah? We do. Sukkah, we make right leishiva sukkah like in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So what's the difference? So the simple answer would be to say that sukkah is a mitzvah the whole 7 days. Maybe matzah there's no mitzvah anymore. Maybe it's just that you can't eat bread, so you have to eat matzah by default. But not that But the fact that they point out, the fact that the Baal HaMor asks especially assumes it is a mitzvah. But his answer is that basically after the first night, so technically the rest of the holiday you could eat vegetable, you know, you don't have to eat seven sudos, you don't have to eat matzah. So since you don't have to do it anymore, so they didn't make it rougher. Abba wanted to do the same thing by sukkah, you don't. You have to eat bread, so you don't have to eat from the sukkah. No, but you have to sleep. A person can't go 3 days without sleeping. So since you have to sleep, because physically you have to sleep, so then sleeping is in the sukkah, so that's why they made a bracha on the sukkah. Because the sukkah, even though technically the only night that you have to eat in the sukkah is the first night, the first 2 nights in Kutzwarts, but then you say, okay, then after that I can come. Technically, not have to be in the sukkah. No, because some people don't sleep in the sukkah side. But technically speaking, you will have to be in the sukkah beside the first night, the first 2 nights to sleep. Because the Gemara says that a person takes a shrua or whatever that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Right away, we give him malchus because it's a shrua shav because you can't claim such a thing. You don't have to go 3 days without sleeping. Even if you have finals or whatever, you can't go 3 days without sleep. Represent chairs. I think matzah is not so most, you know, it's flat. It's this. Because the ultimate chairs, matzah doesn't need yeast. It doesn't need all the additives. See, bread is dependent upon a lot of things. And the more you're dependent upon something, the more slave you are to it. You're not dependent upon you, but it gives you independence. That's the ultimate freedom. That's the pasuk says, "Al tiftechu v'indivim v'nadam shenu l'shua." You know, don't rely on these, you know, and that's why a person should, you know, that's why when you go to college, you should have in mind that you want to do something you can earn a parnasa with. It's very important. You know, it's different debates about, you know, is there all the value or they're not, different opinions. But kuli alma is that you should study something that's going to help you make a parnasa. That gives you an independence. That's very important. That's what Pesach is about. You know, having this independence. I mean, as Rav Shechter quotes, the ultimate independence is the Emunah Hashem, to realize. That's why we say, Rav Shechter pointed out, that I'm an Eved, therefore you unleash my shackles. Rav Shechter pointed out that it's contradictory, because if I'm an Eved, you have shackles on. What do you mean you unleash my shackles? But that's the idea. If you're an Eved Hashem, you have a Muna, so then ultimately all the shackles are off, because that's the ultimate prayers. And that's what Zohar says, that matzah is the Lechem Shel Emunah. It's the Lechem Shel Emunah. It's that, you know, you don't rely. You don't have to rely on this one, that one. You rely on Hashem. You don't have all these additives. Bread has a lot of additives. You have to rely on this, you have to rely on that. And you don't have to rely, you do your hishtadlus, you get a parnas, you do hishtadlus, you rely on Hashem. But you have to rely on other people, that can be very demeaning. So that's very important, that the person has to see what he can do in life that's fulfilling, that he can make a parnasa, and he can raise a nice Jewish home. You know, he doesn't need to have all these luxuries in a nice, pashut way. You know, that's an important, an honest, pashut way. Okay, Rabbi, I'd like to wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. We have, I think, one session after. As a Shabbat, you know, it's interesting that somebody called me yesterday, a fellow from Bar Park, and he was discussing a shiur I gave in Erev. I couldn't figure out, what is he talking about? And he had questions, this and that. And the shiur that he was talking about was this shiur, was the IPC shiur. I said, oh, now I understand what you're talking about. He thought I was too machter, but that's beside the point. Okay. But it's interesting, so you know, you never know. You're here in this room with a small group of people, you never know who's listening. Once it's online, you know. I remember when they first had this concept of putting things online, I was very scared. You know, I was speaking to my 30 guys in the room. I don't know who else has to hear now. I'm used to it, it's not a problem. But it was funny in the beginning, I was like, you know, very hesitant, you know, before anything. When the internet was first beginning to, you know, fold and things like that. Okay, I wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and we'll see each other after Yom Tov.